and kids as well. I'd like you this morning to get your Bible as we're continuing in our message on the grace of God and find the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 14. Acts 14, and we'll begin in verse 3. In the narrative, the Apostle Paul's been traveling throughout the Roman Empire, going from region and district to district and city to city. Everywhere he goes, people are receiving the gospel, but it's stirring up strife. The religious community, the religious establishment is fighting the gospel every step of the way, although some are breaking ranks and receiving the Lord, but the common people are crying out to the Lord, and they're receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is in a particular city. He's been preaching, and there's persecution that typically is rising up as a result of people turning to the Lord. And that's where we're going to pick up this narrative in Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. Listen carefully. So then, Paul and company remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some sided with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and to Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. Think about it. What an incredible miracle. The man had been crippled from birth and had never walked. So not only was he supernaturally healed by the power of God, but some of you parents, you've taught children how to walk. I mean, they've got good legs, but they don't just jump up and start. But this man jumped up on his feet and began running around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and I want you to notice as it talks about his condition this morning, I want you to notice the phrases, because probably most of you here cannot relate to his exact condition, not having been crippled without an ability to walk from your mother's womb. But still, this man's story does apply to you, to each and every one of you, to me as well. And it says that he could not use his feet. Everyone say, could not use his feet. And it also says, he had never walked. Just repeat that after me. He had never walked. So he could not use his feet, and he had never walked. It said he was sitting listening to Paul preach the gospel about Jesus Christ. And Paul looked upon him, and Paul noticed that he had faith to be healed, and in the middle of his message stopped and said, "Stand upright on your feet." They obviously made eye contact, and the man jumped up as the power of God moved upon him. Well, whether physical, mental, spiritual, or otherwise, many people in life have crippled abilities. Abilities that ought to be flowing in their life, but those abilities are crippled. For one reason or another, the things that you ought to be moving forward with, you're not moving forward. And you're having a hard time getting yourself in gear. There's some aspects, maybe perhaps of your personality or of your emotional life. Maybe it has to do with your relationships or the kinds of things that you get yourself involved with in life, but something is crippled and you don't have the use of areas of your life that you ought to have freedom in, and you ought to be able to move out and to live life, but you're having a tough time. And then the Bible also says that the man, in his case, had never walked. There are some people who have features of their life that they have never been able to see come to any kind of development or fruition. Aspects of the, maybe their personality, aspects of your ability to associate with others, or maybe it has to do with your intellect. Every one of us have probably had experiences in our life where we've said, you know, I see other people able to go and to achieve things, but I have never been able to get over this certain hang-up in my life. I've never been able to get around this obstacle. I have areas of my life that have never worked, but I see them working in other people's lives. You see, you could be crippled and still have two good legs and two good eyes and two good hands. So the Lord is interested in healing those features and those parts of our lives that He designed us to freely be able to move in, but we haven't been able to move in. Sin has a binding and it has a crippling influence over our lives. And Jesus came to set us free from all crippling influences and from everything that has kept you back, dwarfed, hindered, mangled, or perhaps you're not using physical canes or crutches in your life, but there's certainly maybe mental crutch or a mental cane or an emotional. Oftentimes we see these things manifest in our life when we start looking at our relationships. Many people have looked back at their life midstream in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and older and saying, you know, from high school or junior high on, I have never been able to find the right group of friends. Every time I choose people in my life to get involved with, I get involved with relationships and people that just drag me into these areas of darkness. I get messed up and I don't have any friends, I don't have any people that I've kept from decades that are healthy relationships. And maybe some of those disabilities are had by people who say, people don't get me, they don't understand me. I've never been able to really communicate myself. I'm always misunderstood. And you know, it probably is my fault. There's probably something wrong with me. In one way or another, I don't think there's anybody in life that can't say, in some fashion or another, I have a disability. Something in my life needs to be healed. Because the tragic reality is that the consequences of sin in our life is disability and dysfunction. And everybody experiences it. This man was a classic physical example of disability and dysfunction. And he had settled into a mindset, I'm certain, because he was a grown man, that because he had never walked, he never will walk. And anybody who's had for any length of time, or maybe all of your life, or for as far back as you can remember, you've never had freedom in an area of your life. Perhaps you've given up on the idea that you can ever really be free. And you've settled in as though it were a fact that I'm going to go through my life and this is never going to change. I'm always going to be bound. I'm always going to be limited. And I'll just make my life good in these areas where I have abilities. But when Jesus came to set you free, He came to set every area of your life free and to liberate every area of your life. I think the worst kind of disabilities are the ones that we've come to the realization that we've created them ourselves. We blame ourselves. And we're probably right. We probably have disabled ourselves. Maybe it's a personality quirk that you've never really been able to get on top of. And every time you get yourself into a relationship, you tend to, somewhere along the line, eventually that ugly side comes out or the bossy part comes out. Or maybe it's the ditch on the other side of the road, and you're always attracting abusive people and you're too passive. And you're always setting yourself up to be misused, abused, taken advantage of. And you don't know how to break that cycle in your life. These are all things that your Heavenly Father cares deeply about and wants you to be happy and wants you to be set free. He hasn't set you free and set His Spirit, His joy in your life for you to go through life just piling on regrets. It's not the will of God that you should reach the end of the road in your life And you can't wait to get out of here because of the regrets that you've piled on. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I don't want to look forward to heaven because my life has become so heavy with regret. God's will is that I can leave with joy and say, the Lord's blessed my life and He's helped me to be a person who could be happy. Not just content with brokenness, but happy because He's made me whole, and I was broken, but now I'm healed, and I was blind, but now I see. You see, the image that I'm projecting for you this morning is one of restoration. God's plan is to restore your life. And so this man was sitting, listening as Paul, the Bible says, preached the gospel. And while he was listening, there was something in what Paul said that made this man, for the first time in his life, believe that what never was possible was now possible. What was broken could now be healed. And so there is a message, if I could say it like this, in God's word that is the key to unlocking faith. The Bible says this man sat, and as Paul preached, it says Paul noticed he had faith to be healed. Now we know that faith is heaven's great exchange. It is the language of the Lord. It is the language of the kingdom of heaven. Even a child can communicate with the heavenly Father, and the kingdom of God can be manifest in the life of a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old and everything in between if we can dialogue with God in that language called faith. And so the Bible says that as Paul preached, he noticed that guy sitting in the back crippled. He saw and perceived the man had faith to be healed. So there's something in the Word of God that releases faith to be healed. And we want to find out, what is that something? Can you say amen? Amen. We must ask ourselves, what is that message that Paul preached? What is that message that Paul preached that caused the crippled man to receive faith to be healed? Because we want to preach that message. Amen. We want to be able to peel away everything else. Not that we set aside or reject any part of the Bible or God's Word, but we want to get down to the. You ever opened an Oreo? I don't know, it's all I could think of in the moment. You know what? Crack open nuts. You don't eat the shell. How many get a bag of peanuts? You break that thing. Have you ever seen anyone just take those shells and pop them in their mouth? You don't want those shells? I'll take them. No. You pull that shell away because you want to get to that nut on the inside. All of God's Word is God's Word. And significant has its place, but there's something, an essence in the Word of God that will produce faith. And we want to get to that. I want to know what it is Paul preached that made that man believe and have faith to be healed. Because I want to zero in on that message in my life, and I want to share that with others. Because that's going to cause the God of miracles to come down and manifest. In Romans 10:17, most of us have heard this verse. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by, and the King James Bible says what? And everyone quotes it and they say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But when that was written, and Paul wrote that actually, we're quoting what Paul wrote to the Romans. And when Paul wrote it, he did not, when he came to the word God, he did not use the typical Greek word theos, which is translated God, but he used the word Christos. How many of you know what the word Christos is? So Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word about Christ. So let me say to you, faith does not come by hearing the Ten Commandments. Faith is not coming by hearing the Old Testament. Faith does not come by hearing a lot of the New Testament writing. Is that the word of God? Yes. But there's something in the Word of God, there is an essence in the heart of God's Word, and all the rest of the Scriptures exist like a setting for a diamond ring to prop that diamond up and to present it, because it is the one that will take the light And it is the one that will release the light. That is the diamond that is in this ring, if you will, that is of infinite value. And so you can preach the Ten Commandments, and that's good. There's nothing wrong. You can preach the rest of the Bible. But faith does not come by hearing the law. And let me say this to you. That man was healed, received a miracle. So I think a lot of people think, well, if I preach healing, then people will get healed. But faith doesn't even come by teaching on healing. You could teach on miracles, and people will learn about miracles. But faith does not come by teaching about miracles. Unless in your teaching about miracles, or unless if you start by teaching the Ten Commandments, at some point you've got to bring in this essence. You've got to present it. It is distinct. In a beautiful engagement ring, there is a setting and there is a diamond. And if you just present the setting, you know, a lot of preachers, they just love building up that setting. I know, you know, we just love to pontificate. We just love to we love the build up. We love the structure. We love to preach all the structure that holds the diamond. We never get to putting the diamond in place. In fact, if some of you ladies that have an expensive engagement ring, or whether it's expensive or not, it means something to you. If you were to be out in public and all of a sudden look down on your hand and see that the diamond was out of that setting, you would be what? You'd be freaked out. You'd be looking around trying to find. You wouldn't say, oh, well, you know, I still got the setting and that's the main part. No, you would stop everything and hunt till you found that diamond. Am I getting across to, am I telling the truth? That's right. In fact, you could do without the setting. Give me that diamond. We can go get in, we can get that setting back, or we can have it remade. So I'm saying to you today that when you hear the word of Christ, and we want to define what that really is today, you're getting the diamond. You're hearing the essence of the word of God. You're hearing the X factor, the it, the thing that the crippled man heard that made faith rise into his heart. As he heard the word of Christ, it imparted faith into his heart. Let me tell you, I think I'd be safe in saying this was a man who never had and didn't have an ounce of faith that he could walk. Never had he ever walked. He didn't know what the experience of walking was except to see other people doing it. And how many of you could sit there and say, I've watched other people all my life get the good stuff, do things, achieve things that I have never been able to do. I see other people with an ability to be happy in areas where I've never been able to be happy. I see other people express themselves or reach out or accomplish things in areas that I have not been able to express myself, reach out or accomplish things. I see other people in marriages that have lasted a lifetime and they're able to stay happy. And I've been through 7 broken marriages or 7 broken relationships. And I can tell you that this crippled man, just like all people who've been crippled by experiences in life, they take it hard and they take it upon themselves. Something is wrong with me. There's a sense of failure and a sense of condemnation. It is almost impossible to fight off that feeling of failure, that feeling of condemnation, that feeling of being disqualified. When you see that you can't move forward in life like other people have moved forward, and what happens is, that feeling robs all faith from you that it'll ever be different. You know, you've tried every program, perhaps. You've tried to get yourself started. It hasn't worked. And so that man was listening to Paul, and when he first sat there, he didn't have an ounce of faith that he could be healed. So where did the faith come from to be healed? It was put into him by whatever Paul said. What Paul said put the faith for a miracle in that man. And so, when we hear the word of Christ proclaimed, then saving and healing faith is imparted to us. Amen. It is the word of Christ. Paul said in Romans, in chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed of the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed of the law. I'm sure Paul was not ashamed of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure he was not ashamed of Psalms or Job. But you are not going to produce faith by preaching Job. You're not even going to produce faith by preaching Proverbs. I love Proverbs. I'm always reading in Proverbs. There's great wisdom. There's great instruction. But it's not until, maybe I'll start in Proverbs, but it's not until I bring up Christ. There's something about what is the message of Christ. When that comes to my focus, faith to walk in those Proverbs, faith to do all those things, then arrives. But not until. It's the word of Christ that brings faith. Can you say amen? Amen. So there's an essence in the gospel that causes God to grant signs and wonders. Listen, the scripture that I opened up with says, and the Lord bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders. So the man heard the word of Christ, the word of God's grace, and it imparted faith to him. When God heard Paul preach, now listen to this, when God heard Paul preach the word of his grace, God reacted. It moved God. What did God do? When God heard the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ being preached, what did he do? He flung open his cooler and shared a refreshing drink of miracles, signs, and wonders. He kicked over the honey pot and all the sweetness began to flow out. He opened, hallelujah, the bottle of the supernatural. And God's supernatural, what could not be done before, began to happen. The Bible says God granted. Do you know what that word grant means? Think about it. If you had a relative or a friend or an associate or somebody who just had infinite gobs of money, and you in your life, you know, you're getting by, but you're struggling. You're always in need one way or another. And one day, something in your relationship with that person happened. It just delighted them. And they just opened up their checkbook, opened up their resources, and said, I grant. I've got my lawyer right here. I am granting. It wasn't a sentiment. Oh, you know what? I would just like to see you do better. I'm going to do something for you. That's called a promise. And how many of you have ever had promises made that weren't fulfilled? People say to you all the time, oh my goodness, you know, if I win the lottery, you're going to be set up. We're just going to be. And it is almost like that. It's almost like the lottery, you know. But the fact is, Jesus granted, which means I've got my lawyer right here, and I've made an arrangement. I am transferring funds into your account. I am granting signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to find out what that message Paul preached was, because there's a grant associated with it. I want to know what is the message of the gospel that Paul preached, because the Bible says God has granted that miracle, signs, and wonders. He's put it on account. He's released it. Miracles, signs, and wonders. You don't have to go and preach miracles. The miracles will introduce themselves. You don't have to preach healing. The healing will introduce itself. But you do have to preach something. There is an essential word. You must bring that word forth. And that's got to stand above and stand out of everything. Especially when you talk to those virgin sinner ears, they need to hear a word that's going to allow faith to enter into them. Now, you could talk with them about the Ten Commandments. You could talk about the law. And you know what you're going to get? You're going to get conflict and arguments and confusion and questions. You may even once in a while get them to say, oh, I agree with Genesis. Okay, yeah, I agree with the Bible version of the creation as it's laid out in Genesis. But they're not going to budge out of the darkness that they're in and be saved. You're not going to see faith to be healed, faith to be transformed, faith to be restored come forth until you get to that word of grace. And when God heard Paul preach the word of his grace, the Bible says, I grant miracles. Hallelujah. And that lame man said, as he heard the word of grace being preached, and I want to talk in a few minutes, I'll get to it, something happened in him. And that word unlocked everything that had been locked up by his circumstances. It just unlocked and opened it all up. So it's the core of the gospel. It's called the word of his grace. Everyone say grace. Now, in the previous weeks, I've shared with you out of John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. You see, God tossed the law through Moses at us. It infers that there's a distance. God gave the law. By giving the law, he didn't give himself, he just gave the law. The law was still a barrier between God and the people. Where was truth? Was the law right? Was it real? Yes. But the truth with a capital T, the truth that sets people free, that truth didn't show up until Jesus came with grace. Truth joined up with grace. It didn't join up with the law. The Bible says grace and truth came with Jesus. It came. And so, this essence of the gospel, the word of God's grace, there's a message in there. We've got to get at the heart of that message, and we've got to speak it, because God has granted miracles, and faith will enter people's lives to get saved if we can present that message. Now, the word of his grace. Listen, there is a word of God's law, and there's a word of God's judgment. Are they legitimate? Yes. Are they necessary? Yes, we need it. Jesus spoke of judgment. He said, do not think that I came to judge the world. I came not to judge the world. I'm quoting him directly in the Gospel of John. But that through me the world might be saved. However, there is one who will judge you. Jesus goes on to say, the word that I've spoken to you will judge you in the last day. And so there is a teaching on judgment. And we need that teaching. It's got an appropriate place. But nobody's going to get healed. No miracles are going to happen. And people aren't going to run to Jesus and get saved, because all of a sudden their darkness has been peeled back, because you teach the law, the Ten Commandments, or a word of judgment. Can those teachings be an opening that might lead to the sharing of the grace? Yes. But don't make the mistake of starting in those areas of the Bible and staying there and expecting the results that only the gospel brings. You've got to get to the gospel if you want to get to the people. Let me say it again. You need to get to the gospel if you want to get to the souls of those that are broken and those that are bound. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's hearing the word of his grace that produces faith for God's miracles to work. And so we've been asking the question, I think it's about time, let's answer it. Let's just jump right in and answer the question. What was it that Paul preached? What is this essence? What is this diamond? So that we can get a hold of it. Because every one of you can preach it. Every one of you have received it, and you can share it. So we do have an example in Scripture of a very short excerpt of Paul's preaching the gospel. In the chapter before our main text, in chapter 13, there's two verses that are recorded. They're the heart of a message that he was preaching to the people in a particular city. Let's listen in and see what he was preaching. It's in Acts 13, verse 38 and 39. Here's Paul preaching what's called the word of his grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Amen. There it is. That is the essence. That is the word of his grace. The law came, or the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. And so Paul, in one long sentence, just nails it and just puts the diamond. There's the diamond. Puts it right there. Let it be known to all of you that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you for everyone. Let's stop for a moment and give thanks to God for everyone. Look at that word. Is there anyone left out of that word, everyone? Nobody's left out. If you're sitting this morning and you felt I've spent my life on the outside of the circle, guess what? God has just drawn a bigger circle to take you in. People, life, circumstances, society drew small circles that excluded you. Maybe you have drawn circles that have put you outside of where you wanted to be. But the gospel of Jesus, the word of his grace, just drew a big circle that took everyone. Hallelujah. Everyone say everyone.
Everyone.
So by Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to everyone who believes. And the message is you can be freed from, here it is again, everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything.
Not some things, not a few things, not God's going to leave some problems, some sins, some difficulties in your life. He's going to leave you a little crippled so that you'll appreciate the rest of what he did do for you. He's going to leave you a little bit blind. He's going to leave you a little bit in pain. He's going to leave you a little bit broken. He's going to leave you a little bit in doubt. No, no. The Bible says that by him, you will be freed from everything which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. So whatever it is that you've tried to get yourself free from through law keeping, whatever it is, all of those things by which you could not straighten yourself out. How many people been to rehab? You don't have to raise your hand. In one form or another. I put myself in rehab 7 times. I keep going. It's like something just grabs me and drags me back. I finally accepted that it's me. I'm in relationship rehab. I'm in finance rehab. I can't stop spending. I get money, just runs right out of my hands. I've got no willpower when it comes to money. I'm in anger management rehab. Everything makes me angry. I get in my car and I drive 2 blocks. I'm angry. Somebody says, I'm in lust rehab. I can't pass a whatever, you know, without a thought of lust or what. I'm just drawn like a moth to the flame. I can't say no. People have always putting themselves in some kind of a rehab. I'm in marriage rehab. Been through 7 of them. I just keep going back in. There's something wrong. Well, the Bible says everything that you could not get rehab to straighten out, God will set you free from. You, be it known to you, Paul said, I preach to you today that Jesus has come to free you from everything from which you could not be freed by every other effort that you previously had employed to set yourself free from. Isn't that an incredible, wonderful message, hallelujah, that whatever you could not be freed from before, do not take the lack of an answer as some sign or some seal upon your life that you're not meant to be free. I'm just meant to go through life as a crippled. I'm meant to go through life with this disability. I must go through life. There's no way. It's impossible. I'm just one of those. And then you look at everyone else in the world and you see, well, everybody's crippled. Everybody's limited. Everybody's broken. So that further ensures in your mind that you're supposed to stay this way. I mean, we say to ourselves, have you ever met anybody that's really been completely set free? I mean, have you ever met anyone who's really received real miraculous transformation in their life? And so we look around, even in the church, and we say, well, you know, people get saved, they carry a Bible, but they're just Christian versions of what they were before. They're not really that much transformed. They're as limited and messed up as they were before. And so we reinforce within ourselves, it's not possible for me to be set free from everything that the law could not set me free from. Well, let me tell you today, maybe we have not been spending enough time on the essence. Maybe we haven't been spending enough time in the diamond. Maybe we've been getting hung up too much in the setting and not enough time in the essence, in the diamond. Because the Bible says God has granted signs and wonders. You know what a sign is? I think Jesse was saying it earlier, or somebody was saying a sign. You see a sign, it's telling you to go somewhere. Maybe it was Brandon when he was praying, but I heard somebody talking about sign. A sign. The sign points to the fact that, heads up, all things are possible. It's a sign from heaven that don't believe the world around you. Don't believe the disabilities. I created you to be free and to be whole. Hallelujah. And you can be free and whole. That's a sign. You know, God says, I'm willing to give signs. I don't, this wholeness, this restoration is not just a new covenant version of the law. And that's what people have done. They've taken the message of restoration and they've made it just a New Testament legalism, saying you've got to work towards being restored. Amen. You just got to work at it. And I want to talk, and if we get towards the end of this message, I'll talk about works. Because if you want to work, if you want to make effort, and you should make effort, there's a place where you need to employ that effort. We'll talk about it. But right now, I just want to get you to buy in. This is the buy-in part of this message. The buy-in is that God said, I must freely give to you complete restoration. Will you receive that in Jesus Christ? He took your brokenness, took your sin, took the penalty, took everything that defeated you, because there's no way you could heal or help yourself. He has taken it, and in exchange, he gives you, purely on the basis of his love, his unmerited favor, his grace, he gives you complete restoration. Do you believe that? That's what he said to Martha and Mary at the tomb of Lazarus, their brother. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you know what resurrection is? Resurrection is whatever you need to get back from the dead. I mean, it's like, are you dead? Resurrection is kiss death goodbye. It's over with. It's gone. That's what Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? Why did he say to her, do you believe this? If you'll find out when you die. He wasn't talking just about the resurrection when you die, or he'd have left Lazarus in the grave. He was talking about the resurrection you're going to need to experience Tuesday morning. Amen. When you wake up and something seems dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and I am giving you the authority and the power to proclaim to what is dead in your life, get out of that bed, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. So he said, I am the resurrection life. Do you believe this? Glory to God. Now, Paul's message about Jesus was ever so simple. Jesus carried away all your sins and every associated curse. Every reason why you have to stay bound. He took it all away. He freed you from all of that. Not by law keeping, but by your commitment to receive it as a gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Now let's go back to our story. The crippled man is sitting there. Can you imagine, if you will just take on his character for a moment, the epiphany that that man has as he listens to Paul's message? What is he hearing? That man is sitting and he's hearing, my guilt is being taken away. My condemnation is being taken away. You see, when you're a cripple, even though you may fight it in your conscious mind, in the forward part of your mind, you may fight the idea that some fault, some condemnation, some shortcoming on my part is why I am like this. Maybe it's not why I got this way, but it's why I'm staying this way. There is a kind of subconscious black mark that we put on ourselves. And like I said, in the forefront of our thinking, we may rationalize that away, but how many of you know that what you really believe is often deep buried below the surface? It's often a deep emotional sentiment that you really believe. You would maybe not ever say, I am a person who condemns myself. But God knows that deep down inside you are. That you do carry personal condemnation. You do disqualify yourself when it comes right up to the moment of the opportunity to receive a miracle, somewhere inside your own image of your circumstance, your life, your situation is rooted in some personal view of disqualification. And that man, I assure you, had that. Because if you remember in John's Gospel chapter 9, they came to Jesus, the disciples, and they said, that man that's lame over there, who sinned? Him or his parents? Notice there was only two options. Notice there was not a third option. Maybe he nor his parents sinned. In the mind of the culture of their day, if you're crippled, there's sin involved somewhere. Either you did it or your parents did it. But anybody whose life is crippled, mangled, messed up, sins behind it somehow or another. And there is always an associated disqualification, condemnation. Whether it's moral or otherwise, it's always there. And so I guarantee you that this man was sitting as a cripple thinking, I'm less than other people. I'm not up to where other people are at. I'm less than they are. So you may have two good legs, as I said this morning, but I'm going to say it again because it's so important. I want to get everyone in the sanctuary this morning on board with this, that in your life, I want you to think, is there some area of your life where you look at yourself and say, I'm less than others? Something about me, it's hard for me. And maybe you've been very positive about it, and you've said, I've come to grips with it. I've come to terms with it. But in your coming to terms with this disability, in your coming to terms with it, you've, in a sense, you've pushed yourself away from the table of deliverance. You've pushed yourself away from the table of restoration. You've settled that I'm just this way and I've come to grips with it. I'm going to be Christian about it. I'm going to walk in my disability and honor God anyway. Well, that is noble. That's wonderful. That's nothing to be condemned about. But that just means that the word of His grace has not reached that deep into that area of your life where you have hope that you can be changed or set free. Does anyone hear what I'm saying to you this morning? And God wants that word of hope to reach into your heart and you can believe, I don't just have to settle. The Lord wants to set me free. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So as the man is sitting there listening to Paul speak, what is he hearing? The Bible tells us, Paul said, I preach to you Jesus, and forgiveness of sins through Him for every one of you. So all of a sudden, this man, he's not hearing, Paul's not preaching about healing. Paul's not sitting there saying, now we're going to be laying hands on people. Let me diagram and teach you about healing. Here's the verses about healing. No, he's just preaching forgiveness, freedom. And you can bypass law keeping and just go directly to the throne of grace because God left that throne and came to you. And you could be free. And all of a sudden, that man is going through a mental process. He's realizing, I'm not less than others. I'm not a throwaway. I'm not a marked down person or a discounted person. I'm not the person you have to go to the outlet store to get. Hallelujah. You see, he's realizing, even though that's the way I've been in the social strata and in my life, before God, Jesus has come to free me and to restore dignity and purpose and meaning. What does that? He loves me. Jesus loves me. Eventually, the message got so simple, it just peeled everything back and it got right to that essence. God loves me. And that man was honored. His sense of honor was raised up. His sense of significance was raised up. His sense of hope was instantly set free and raised up. And all of the areas of his life where he had felt dishonored and disqualified were fading away, where he felt like a failure, fading away because he heard, God loves me and He has sent His Son to come and to die for my sins. So as fear of wrath, fear of judgment, condemnation, as those all were lifting, eventually in his mind, he's listening to Paul preach, the thought pops up in his mind. Well, if I am free from guilt, free from judgment, free from condemnation, I'm free to be healed. There's no reason for me any longer to stay crippled. He saw, it just fell right into his mind. As faith arose in his heart, I'm free. free to be healed. Why should I continue one more moment like this? If God loves me and I'm free, I feel like getting up and dancing. And Paul said, get up and dance. In Jesus' name. And he did. He did. It was that easy. Paul didn't strain. He didn't sweat. Paul didn't say, oh, I'm going to pray the anointing down. He didn't pray an anointing down. He just preached the gospel of grace. And God said, I grant the miracle. That's the secret. That is the secret to the miracles. Fall in love with Jesus. Don't let anything take you away. And stay on that. That's the diamond. The light of heaven will hit that diamond and send revelation into the hearts of people. And God said supernatural power to restore and to deliver people will enter their lives. Somebody say glory to God if you hear. Hallelujah. Do you associate your crippling conditions with some kind of condemning disqualification in your life? You've been thinking about it. I don't need to repeat it anymore. You've had plenty of time to think and consider. Then let me say to you, if you have, because I found out, if you have, I want you to hear the word of God's grace today for you. Because I have found the hardest people in the world to get to hear this message are people who've already heard it and gotten saved. I have gone into churches filled with unsaved people or people who have never heard that message and just seen miracle after miracle happen. Incredible miracles. You get with people that are born again, and why is it so hard? You pray for them, so hard for them to receive healing, so hard for them to receive God's miracles. I'll tell you why. Because nobody on the face of the earth condemns themselves or practices the law more than Christians under grace. Let me say it again. Sinners aren't out practicing the law, and they're not living under condemnation, but Christians are. We think that grace was all about getting you into the body of Christ. But now God expects me to be responsible and to respond. Yes, God does expect you to respond, but respond to what? And respond how? You see, the Bible says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. But we receive the grace and then we start walking like Moses. We receive the freedom and then we start walking like bound people. The minute we make mistakes, sin, fall short, see any disqualifying activity in our life, we go right back under law keeping. I have to prove to God, I have to punish myself, I have to work on this. Am I saying there should not be an effort? Am I saying that there are no guidelines or this is the right way and that's the wrong way? Absolutely not. Look around you. God's universe is a universe of order. If you go the wrong way, there's consequences. But listen to me, saints. God's people are the worst people at hindering themselves from receiving the grace of God. But again, I'm going to take you to a verse you've been hearing ever since the day you got saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We'll go all the way to verse 19. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, we always think, well, that's wonderful. That's how I got saved. Grace of God. But we always relegate it to the past. God forgave me. He wiped out my sins. But now if I sin, I got to work it out. I got to, we disqualify ourselves. I've blown it. But listen, he goes on and he says, the old has passed away, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, which is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Do you think that God was only not counting the trespasses you committed up to the point where you got born again? Those were the trespasses that he was not counting against you? Or all trespasses? I don't see anything here that says that it was only the ones that you committed before you got saved. But the Bible says that God reconciled us through Christ to himself, not counting our trespass. He did that before you were ever born. So you think one third, one half, the rest is up to you? You're on your own? No. No, but the Bible says that God is not counting your trespasses against you. You say, wow, that sounds like you're telling people they can get away with just, you know, sinning and disobeying God's word. Well, we're all adults here. What happens when you go against the word of God? What happens when you sin? The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. So if you want to transgress, you get the hardness that goes along with it, right? So no, it's absurd, it's ridiculous. If we're to be people to bear fruit, we want to go the easy way. We want to go the way of grace, which is the way of love, which is the way of obedience. We want to live a life of obedience. We don't abuse grace as a method of getting away with the, you know, that's a person whose heart has never really been changed. But we receive that love and we want more of it. We want to walk in that love, walk in that grace. So if a trespass occurs in our life, glory to God, with the same freedom, God not counting them against us, we go to him and receive that forgiveness, we turn to him again. And if in the middle of next week you have to go to God concerning a trespass, how are you going to handle it? Just like you did when the day you got saved and received Jesus. Lord, I thank you for taking this. I know you already took it, and I just give it up to you. Thank you for the freedom of walking in deliverance from this. Hallelujah. The message of reconciliation. So if you're a person who associates your whatever disabilities are going on in your life, whatever hardships you're having, with some condemning disqualification, then hear the word of his grace. Be reconciled to God. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his forgiveness. Hallelujah. Accept that God removed your condemnation, not now, but always. Removes your condemnation. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Because he knew you could never, ever accomplish anything under condemnation. There's no way God's will can ever be done while you're under condemnation. If you're under condemnation, God's will cannot be done in your life. He needs you to be in Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. And so this morning, the Bible says, as that crippled man sat and listened to Paul preach, it says, faith works by love. Faith works. That man simply heard, God loves me. He has forgiven me. He has released me. And the faith for miracles took place as he focused on the fact that Jesus loved him. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pray in just a moment. And I told you I was going to say something about if you want to labor and use your energies as a Christian, should Christians be lazy? No. You get saved, God sets you free, you become more energetic. You know, but God does not want you wasting your energies on trying to be a law keeper, trying to earn God's love. You have to accept it. You have to accept the forgiveness. You have to accept that while there was nothing you could do to clear up your mistakes and sins, that's the same today and it always will be for the rest of you. There's nothing you could do, not now, not ever. You must receive the fact that he's not imputing your trespass against you. He sees you as a son and as a daughter. So where do you place your labors? The Bible says in Hebrews 4, labor to enter the rest. What does the Christian work at doing? We work at grace. We work at staying grace-minded. We work at staying in the grace of God. It's in my nature to condemn myself. It is in my human nature to disqualify myself. I have to work at going to God and praying when my natural man says, don't bother, he's mad at you. But the Bible says, no, he's not mad at you. He loves you. He's not counting your trespasses against you. I have to work at saying, Nick, get on your knees and lift up your hands and give God some thanks. Amen. Praise him and thank him. My natural man says, don't bother. You're a goof up. So See, the devil's the one that's trying to drive you to be a lawkeeper. And where does that driving get you? It drives you away from God, drives you away from Christ. So labor to enter the rest means give God praise. I'm not worthy. Did you hear the tapestry of belligerent language that was flowing out of my mouth at that intersection on US 19? How can I praise God? After all, doesn't it say in James, sweet water and bitter cannot come forth from the same pair of lips? Well, you've got sanctified lips. Oh yeah, yes, because God has not counting your sins against you. So ask for His forgiveness. Father, I receive that forgiveness. You're not asking because you might go, you know what? I've heard too much of that. Forget it. Well, I don't feel like forgiving you today. Come back on Thursday. God will never say that. The Bible says He's already not counting your trespasses against you. What do you labor at? You labor to accept that forgiveness. You labor by saying to your mind, shut up. Stop condemning me. I'm not going to stay condemned. God, I thank you, Father. I thank you. Lord, there's nothing I could do to earn you. And still to this day, I cannot earn your grace, but I thank you for it. I'm a child of your grace. Hallelujah. And the Father says, that's what I want to hear. Guess what? A miracle's heading your way. Amen. Transformation's heading your way. Deliverance is heading your way. Now we're going to pray. And here's our target for this altar call this morning. Some of you have come in with crutches and canes. I know you look around and say, what? What? Does he see something I don't see? Yes, maybe I do. I see canes and crutches and wheelchairs and apparatus all over this sanctuary. As I look around, I see them everywhere. You've painted them and you've made them look like they assimilate into your humanity, but they're there. And let me tell you, the Father sees them. And they are there because they help you get your brokenness every day from one day to the next. And God's heart is extended towards you right now. I think God wants to have a pile of canes and wheelchairs up here, left here, and you walk out. You came in with them. God wants you to walk out without them. Listen to me. God wants to heal your brokenness. God wants to heal what's been crippled. And I've shared this message with one goal in mind. That faith to be healed would enter. When I talked about the grace of God, you'd sit there and go, if I stay where I'm at and I don't hear this message of grace, I could spend the rest of my life in these limitations, but I don't have to. This is my off-ramp. This is my on-ramp to freedom and my off-ramp off the highway of bondage and limitation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Stand with me. We got a nice big altar area up here in front because we want to come before the Father. Hallelujah. I can't say to you today, stand up and walk concerning your natural legs because everybody's standing. But I say to you today, wherever there is faith to be healed, stand up and walk. Amen. Stand up and prepare to walk out of here without that cane and crutch that you walked in with. Whether emotional, mental, relational, personality disorder, whatever. It may be physical. It may be a physical healing. You are forgiven. Every lie of the devil. I think I've said everything needs to be said to rip up every writ that the devil has written against you. I think I've said everything that needs to be said to unlock every shackle and every lie that the devil has ever put on your hands, on your feet, on your heart. And they're falling off. They're falling off in the name of Jesus. You don't have to stay bound one moment more. If all you receive today is the forgiveness, then let the condemnation go. Let's make that pile of crutches up here this morning. If you're here today and there's been a crippling disability operating on some level somewhere in your life. And the word of His grace has imparted faith to be healed, then I want you to gladly come. Come right now. Find a place right up here in this altar area and take your stand in the grace of God, because we're going to pray, and I tell you, I just believe
glory, hallelujah,
that the Lord is going to personally take every crutch, every cane. Some of you are on, I speak this figuratively. Some of you are, your crutch is drugs. Some of you are on drugs to help you get through, to help you face each day. It could be just a mental drug, or it could be a real natural one, but the Lord wants to set you free and deliver you from those things. You are beautiful through the blood of Jesus to Him. And you need to let me say that to you right now. In Jesus' name, I am telling you, you are beautiful in the eyes of God. You are gorgeous to Him. He loves you. When He sees you, He sees the beautiful girl, the beautiful boy, that man, that woman that He created. And He loves you. And He doesn't want you letting the devil tell you one more day of your life that you're a misfit, that you're a deformity, that the Lord just loves you in spite of your ugliness. In Christ, that ugliness is gone, and you are beautiful to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the word of His grace. Heavenly Father, I ask that right now that the Holy Spirit will come down. I know that You are here, so when I say come down, Lord, I know that You're already working. But I pray that the very physical manifestation, what You have granted, the miracles, that You will come and begin to lay Your hands on these precious men and women, that You will touch them. Touch them. Lord, there is faith today to be healed. There is faith to be healed. What does it mean to be reconciled to You, Lord? It means to be healed. As You pull us into Yourself, disability and brokenness are dissolved and we are healed. I pray now that You'll touch each and every one. Touch them. Touch them, Father. Let the brokenness go. Let the guilt go. Father, I come against those deep, deep sentiments of guilt and of failure. I bind and rebuke all those feelings of self-hate and self-loathing. I come against every sentiment and thought and emotion that has just destroyed hope and faith in Your people today. Devil, You no longer have the right to grab us and shove our nose in our mistakes and our shortcomings. In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke you. The entire human race is a race of fallen people who have made mistakes. But God so loved the world that He came as Jesus Christ and gave His life to raise us up. What is it that we could do that would make Him turn away and take that love away? Nothing. Nothing. On that cross, Lord, You bore all of our shortcomings, not only now, but through to the very last moment of our life. We are forgiven. I proclaim to you, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus. I command in the name of Jesus the yoke of condemnation to be broken and to come off of you right now. I command your mind to be set free from those thoughts that have tied and fettered you. In Jesus' name, you are free right now. You are free to see yourself as being full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, Maybe those qualities weren't in you in your natural self, but they are in you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are all of those things that the Bible says that you are. In the name of Jesus, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those wonderful qualities of the Spirit. They are your qualities. You are beautiful in the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Rise and walk. Rise and be healed. Rise and be delivered. Get up and live. I rebuke death. I rebuke disability. I rebuke condemnation. I command inhibition, hopelessness. In Jesus' name, I rebuke it out of your life. I'm speaking to you. Yes, I am speaking to you right now. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I am speaking to you. It is the Father speaking to you. I forgive you. You will always be forgiven. You are released from condemnation. You are released from guilt. My grace is yours, says the Lord. My power, my love is yours, and it is irrevocable. I will never take it from you. Step into the light, child. Step up to my favor, for I lift you where you have not been able to lift yourself. I lift you up, says the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that great grace will be poured out right now. I pray that physical, emotional, mental disabilities, Father, will be left in a pile on this altar, and the angels will come and sweep them away. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever they couldn't do before, I proclaim in Jesus' name, they're going to do it. Hallelujah. From this day forward, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, a word of wisdom to you. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. You live in a body and in a world where mistakes happen. If you should make a mistake, if you should stumble, don't ever, ever, ever let the devil drag you back to that place. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. Do you know what a more than a conqueror is? The person who's more than a conqueror, if they fall down on that mat in that contest, they get knocked over. They jump back up again. You can't conquer them. They cannot be defeated. So if you trip or fall, you're springing right back to your feet again. You are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You are an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Father, release that overcoming anointing. Lord, bless them right now. The mighty, send the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Fill them with your power right now. Father, I thank you for that anointing. I command all things to be made new, not by might or power, but by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the glory of God. I thank you for new life. I thank you for great love and all of love's work. In Jesus' name, all darkness go and light and peace come. Receive the joy. Receive that anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless Ron, Hallelujah. Father. God, fill him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with your very presence, Father. Thank you for that anointing right now. Thank you that you are the miracle working God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for that anointing. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, bless Jason, Father God. Fill him with your precious spirit, Father God. Bless him, Father, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. I thank you for newness of life and the supernatural love and grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for a new dawn, a new day. In Jesus' mighty name, receive that anointing. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive that glory. Hallelujah. Old things are gone. Glory to God. You are the man that God says that you are. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Receive that anointing. All impossibilities dissolve and give way. Hallelujah. Be made whole. Thank you, Father, for healing and deliverance. in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for the beauty that you have put in her life. Thank you, Father, that all things are possible for Millie. In the name of Jesus, rise and be made whole. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, rise and be made whole. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Rise and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rise up and be made whole. All old things fall away. None of them can hold on to you. Rise and be made whole in the name of Jesus. The glory, hallelujah, and the majesty and the beauty of holiness is yours. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Rise, be made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for newness of life. Thank you, Father, for your miraculous anointing. Rise, be made whole in the name, in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Glory to God. Take his righteousness. Take his perfection in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God. Rise and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think this is what is meant when the Bible said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. Hallelujah. God's loving kindness defines you. Amen. Not life. God's loving kindness. Amen.